been around for 400 years, you start accumulating quite an array of stuff. Such is the case with Harvard, which, amongst its dozens of libraries and museums, lays claim to a beguiling array of oddities and curiosities from around the world. Many are neatly categorized into the Art Museum, or the Mineral Museum, or the Rare Books Library.
But a new exhibit aimed at challenging how artifacts are sorted and displayed breaks down those traditional categories and tries to show the various connections in the Harvard collection. It's called Tangible Things, and Radio Boston's Adam Raguzia had a tour.
My name is Ivan Gaskell. I'm the Margaret S. Winthrop Curator at Harvard.
I'm Laurel Ulrich, and I'm 300th anniversary university professor in the history department.
These two make an unlikely pair of pranksters, but that's basically what they are.
And maybe we should walk over and see this, but what we have done is to introduce a number of objects from other collections at Harvard into the displays of museums in which these things don't really, well, maybe they do fit, but I was going to say maybe they don't fit.
Right. Just a little bit of a mystery.
All right, let's go. We're at the Harvard Museum of Natural History, where Ivan and Laurel have snuck a few random, weird things into the permanent collection.
We're in the Hall of Minerals.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of guest objects in here that will be surprises.
I walk through the aisles of glass cases, scanning for anything that looks out of place.
Let's see. Rock, rock, rock.
You're getting warmer, 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 and you're steaming.
It looks like it's a rock, but yeah. I'm guessing it's not quite a rock.
This is a bladder
stone.
This came out of a poor man's bladder in 1809.
This is the size of a fist.
Yeah, it's like an avocado.
He didn't survive, actually.
I am dumbfounded and horrified by this thing that is normally tucked away inside Harvard's Countway Library of Medicine. But I start to see what Ivan and Laurel are up to in bringing it here. The stone is beautiful. Presented in cross-section, you can see it's made up of hundreds of concentric layers.
It's made of the same kind of minerals as many of the specimens around it.
But it didn't come from the earth, so is it a rock? I guess I never would have considered the distinction if I hadn't been presented with it. And that's what this exhibit is all about.
Okay, there's one more in here if you go down in that direction.
So I'm obviously getting some help finding these mismatched things. Other visitors can use a special little treasure map that Ivan and Laurel have produced. It's still a bit of a scavenger hunt, but at least you know where to look.
All right, rock, gold rock, gray rock.
And you're getting hot.
Okay. Between a piece of graphite and a piece of something else, we've got what looks like a writing implement of some kind?
A pencil.
Pencil, made by a very famous person, Henry David Thoreau.
Oh, wow. Concord, Massachusetts, circa 1850s.
He actually created an innovative way of improving pencils by mixing graphite with clay to get a more consistent mark on the page.
This pencil normally lives in Harvard's Houghton Library, but they've brought it here to put it next to a giant piece of graphite from Sri Lanka.
And it looks kind of like a moon rock.
It does.
Yeah, we don't usually think about what's inside a pencil and what we're writing with when we use one. And so to see a great chunk of graphite, which is the raw material for the core of a pencil, can take you by surprise.
We step out of natural history and head for another museum. In all, 8 curators across campus have allowed Ivan and Laurel to come in and muck up their collections.
We've had a lot of kindness, and I think people realize that there can be a positive side to subversion.
We round the corner to the Peabody Museum of Archaeology and Ethnology, which houses a large collection of Native American objects.
Where do we go, Ivan?
We'll go upstairs to the 4th floor. So this is the Pacific Hall, and it's a wonderful old-fashioned gallery with the cases from the late 19th century and lots of objects from the Pacific world.
Beautiful things like ornately carved canoes and shields, a number of which were brought here by Boston's 19th century maritime merchants. Of course, there is one thing that doesn't quite belong.
So let's look around. Here we go.
In a glass case, there's a beige dress with red fringe. It looks like it belonged to a little Sioux or Apache girl, except it didn't.
We discovered, as we were looking for possible artifacts to move out of place, that the Schlesinger Library on the History of Women in America had some costumes from a camp at Squam Lake in New Hampshire. These were used from the 1930s through the 1950s.
Yep, it's a fake, worn by a campfire girl.
And they really were dressing up as Indians, and they took Indian names, and they had a council fire in the evenings.
It's a pretty provocative move, stashing something like this among a bunch of authentic artifacts. But historians are starting to get interested in idealized Western representations of Native American culture from this period.
Interestingly enough, some American Indians, Charles Eastman, for example, who was Sioux, actually helped organize the campfire girls. You know, it was a way of trying to inculcate a more positive image of the Native American past than what people were getting.
Do you guys fear that you might confuse people? Because I feel like I could walk through this gallery and look at this dress and confuse it for something genuine.
I hope we do allow a kind of creative confusion to come out of this. A confusion that can be resolved in part by reflection, by viewers looking at these things, thinking for themselves as a result of looking closely.
And I'll tell you, I may have never looked so closely at stuff in a museum in my life.
Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea. The exhibit Tangible Things runs at 8 locations across Harvard through the spring semester. You can get a map and see pictures of the items Adam described at wbur.org/Boston.